We'll be looking in the book of Galatians. We'll be looking in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. If I had to, there's no title of the sermon in the bulletin, simply because I just didn't send one to Brother Lester. I sent him the outline, but no sermon. But if I had to peg a title for the sermon, it would be Firming Up the Sagging Middle. Now, I'm not talking about any sagging middle we may have because of we overate from the holidays, although we may have some of that as well. But I'm talking about firming up that sagging middle in our spiritual lives. Tying and shoring up the loose ends so that we can be strong and firm in the Lord. This morning in Galatians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter here to the church at Galatia. And he's writing to those Galatian Christians as well as us believers today to encourage us in the faith and to the deeper things of God. The central theme of the book is Paul is calling Christians to a deeper faith and to a deeper walk with God and to the realization of the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. We have freedom in Christ today. Whatever those things may be that bind us and have us bound and those chains that may be in our lives and whatever it may be that's holding us back, freedom comes from the Lord. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus has come to set us free and that whom the Son has set free is what? Free indeed. We've already been set free if we're believers in Christ. We just need to claim that freedom that He's given to us. We need to claim that freedom in Christ. Well, let's look this morning in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Please join me in standing for the reading of God's Word. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Father, bless Your Word. Give us understanding this morning. Lord, help us to be able to hear what Your Word is saying to us and to be able to apply it to our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, at our house, we've sort of embarked on a little bit of a construction project. And we've been building a carport. And if you've ever been involved in a construction project, you know how messy and trying it can be at times. It sort of, for the short term, turns your life upside down. But I've learned some things through this because I virtually knew just about nothing regarding construction. But I wanted a carport with an open carport with no post or columns. Mainly because if I knew in my family, if we have poster columns, we're going to run over them. It's going to be a matter of time. We're going to run those things over. So what I learned was in order to span that open space, you had to have these load-bearing beams, support beams, to be able to be strong and firm enough to support that weight. A beam running on this side and a beam running on this side. But yet, then you have all this weight in the middle that can sag if it's not supported. It's not firm and it's not strong. And sometimes our spiritual lives can sag in the middle, so to speak. So in order to firm up the carport, we had a beam this way, a beam this way, and we ran one across the middle, crossways, in order to keep it from sagging over time, from some sagging to occur in the middle. But what can we do about that sagging in our spiritual lives? What do I mean by that? Sometimes as Christians, we can live lives like an old iron bed with a soft feathered mattress. In other words, they're firm on both ends, but very loose in the middle. In other words, firm on the front end, knowing that at one point in time we placed our hope, our trust, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then on the other end, we know that we have an eternal home in heaven awaiting us because of that faith that we have in Christ. But oh, that sagging middle.
between the front end and the back end.
In other words, we have a starting point when we come to Christ. We are born again. We have an ending point to look forward to. We have our desired final destination in glory. And I'll be preaching tonight about heaven. We get to look forward to that. We get to look forward to, for all eternity, being with Christ in glory, in heaven. But it's that journey in between. It's that daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ that can oftentimes be trying and challenging and difficult for us. So how can we firm up that sagging middle? It's the act of beating out the Christian, those Christian principles of the Christian life on the anvil of daily personal experience that can sometimes seem to be sagging. Here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we find the secret to firming up that sagging middle in our walk with Christ so that we are solid, so that we are firm, and we are strong in the faith. This single verse is perhaps the most complete description of the Christian life to be found in the New Testament. If you look at what Paul is saying there, it reveals to us what Christ has done for us and who we are now as a result of Christ's atoning work. And the fact that His resurrection power and the power that He has to change our lives. And that's important because we need constant reminders in our lives as believers of what Christ has done for us, who He is, and who we now are as we come to faith in Christ, because, oh, sometimes how quickly we forget. Well, what did He do? What did our Lord do for us? First of all, He took something from us. He took something from us. What is it that the Lord took from us? There in verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Our Lord took something from us. What did He take? He took away our old life. There's not one of us in here that can say, if you have a point in your life where you've come to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's not one of us that can say, my life, when I bowed to accept Christ and I made Him my Lord and Savior and I stood up from that experience, my life was exactly the same afterward as it was before. Christ has changed our life. His Holy Spirit comes to reside in us. His power changes us. We are not changed by our own power. If we could change our lives by our own power, then Jesus had no reason to come and die on the cross. It's because of the power of Christ working in us and through us that changes our lives. Jesus took something from us. He took away our old life. And the Apostle Paul is a perfect example of this description. It's no wonder that he penned this very verse, because certainly Paul's life was not the same as it used to be. Paul was not the same person that he used to be before Christ. When Paul made this statement here in verse 20, he's communicating to us that what Christ had done on the cross and Calvary was completed, but it has ongoing results in our lives. In other words, Paul was saying that Christ has changed us, Christ is changing us, and Christ will change us. Christ has saved us, He is saving us, and He will save us. In other words, it's not just a one-time event. It is an ongoing process in our daily lives. He is the potter and we are the clay. And daily, as we walk with Him, He shapes and fashions and molds our life into what He wants it to be. And He makes us to be the person that He wants us to be. And He removes those impurities from our lives. So we see this morning that as the Lord works through our lives, the apostle is going beyond saying that Christ was crucified for me here. That's not just what he's saying. He's going beyond that and saying that he's saying not only was Christ crucified for me, but I was crucified with Christ. The old Craig, the old you, the old me has died. Christ was crucified for me, and then when I come to faith with Christ, in Christ, my old self is crucified with Him. It's a statement of fact that Jesus did it, not me. Jesus does the changing in my life, not me. And that the issue was settled long ago, but it has continuing, ongoing effects in our lives each day as we come to faith in Him, as we daily surrender our lives to Him, and as we daily walk with Him. As our Lord hung on the cross at Calvary, those in the crowd only saw the man in the middle. The cross in the center. The fact that Jesus was dying on the cross. But God the Father did not see just His Son hanging on the cross. But He also saw the thief, one on the left and one on the right. He also saw those in the crowd shouting, "Crucify Him." He also sees you and I and every person who comes to faith and puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus transforms and renews our lives so that we walk in newness of life. He changes us, and He changes us from the inside out. You see, when we try to change ourselves, we try to change ourselves from the outside in. We can change our appearance. I can change the color of my hair or change the outfit that I'm wearing, but I can do very little to change my inward nature. That's why we need God in our lives. He takes the old, unregenerate, unredeemed, a sinful life, and He changes it. And He puts our past sin as far as He puts them as far as the east is from the west. He casts those past sins in the sea of forgetfulness to remember them no more. Amen. So we see that our Lord takes our old life from us. I've been crucified with Christ. Legally, it means that I have my that God looks at me as if I have died with Christ. Relationally, it means that I am now one with Christ because He lives in me. He rules and reigns in my heart and life. Self is not on the throne anymore. Self has been abdicated. Christ now rules and reigns in our hearts and in our lives. But not only does He take something from us this morning, but also we can see that not only does He take something from us, but that our Lord puts something in us. Yes. He puts something beautiful and wonderful in us. What is it that He puts in us? Paul says in that verse, he says in verse 20, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." So what does the Lord put in us? He takes away our old life, our old nature, our old sinful being and habits, and He puts something new within us. He puts within us a new life, new desires, a new want to, we could say. He puts a new life within us. He takes from us our old life and He puts in us a new life. And this new life in Christ is not just merely a changed life. It's not merely an improved life. Christ now rules and reigns and lives within us. It's not merely a changed life. A more accurate term would be an exchanged life. In other words, He laid down His life to die for us so that we could lay down our life to live for Him. We give God our old lives, and He gives us one that is brand new. And that's why Scripture says, "Old things are made new," that we now walk in newness of life. You see, the world says it's not what Christ wants, it's what I want. But as believers this morning, our mindset is very different. For we say as believers, it's not what I want, but what Christ wants in my life. What Christ wants for me. And if we could literally awaken to that truth, to the revelation of that truth, it would literally turn our lives and turn this world upside down, as we saw in the early church, as those believers took hold of that truth and their lives were changed, their communities were changed, and the world we know it was forever changed with the bringing and the power of the gospel. Because there's no way to defeat someone who believes that Christ is alive and has taken up permanent residency in their heart and in their lives. The Word says that we can do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us. He is the source of our strength.
This new life, this new nature that He's placed within me gives me everything that I need. As I abide in Him, I have the strength that I need to tackle whatever it is comes our way in our lives. So our Lord takes something from us, our old sins, our old desires, our old ways of thinking, our old ways of living, our old habits and vices. And He puts something in us. He gives us a new life when we come to Christ. All things are made new. We no longer are the same. You cannot remain the same when you encounter the living God. Amen. You cannot remain the same. Paul could not remain the same as he encountered the living God on the Damascus Road. And you and I cannot remain the same. He places within us His Holy Spirit. And He renews us and changes us. Paul's life was radically changed. And that same power that changed Paul's life is the very same power that can change our lives today as well. Regardless of what we're going through, regardless of what we're experiencing, regardless of what is holding us back today, the power of God can break those chains from our lives, and the power of God can transform us and strengthen us and give us the help that we need. But not only did He take something from us, our old nature, our old life, not only did He put something in us, a new life, but finally we can see that He gave something for us. The Lord Himself gave something. He says there in verse 20, that in the second part of that verse, He says, He loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, the Lord gave something. What did He give? He gave His very own life. The Bible says He gave His life as a ransom for many. That many means me and you and whosoever would that could come to the Lord. So our Lord purchased us with His very own blood on the cross at Calvary. And the salvation that you and I hold precious and dear, that salvation, that eternal life, cost our Lord dearly. It cost Him His life on the cross of Calvary, and we must never take His great sacrifice for granted. There are three realities that the world needs to know. There are three realities that we, the church, should be communicating to the world. And that is, number one, that Jesus loves you. Regardless of who you are, regardless of what you've done, regardless of where you're at, the Lord loves you. Secondly, is that He gave Himself for you. He gave something for you. In our own wretchedness and at the height of our sinfulness, He gave His very own life. And third is that only He can save. Only He can forgive. Only He can redeem us and bring us back to a right relationship with God the Father. And that the Bible says He is the only way. That He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. Christ is the door. He is the only way to God. He is the truth of God. And He is the giver of eternal life in God. So we see this morning that His great love took Him to the cross, and there He willingly, voluntarily, laid down His life for us. No one took it from Him. But yet He willingly and lovingly laid His life down for us. So we can firm up the middle in our lives this morning by coming to grips with the truth of this one verse. By understanding what it's saying and by incarnating and inculcating and incorporating it into our daily lives. It says, He doesn't just say that He loved us. Jesus didn't just say that He loved us and He stopped there, but His love compelled Him to action. The Word says that God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So His great love compelled Him to go to the cross, that He laid down His life for us in order that we might be saved, and not only be forgiven and saved, but that we might have daily victory in our lives. See, some of us have come to the Lord, come to faith in Christ a long time ago. But somewhere along the way, we've forgotten that He's also given us victory in the here and now. Some of us live as if chains are binding us and the weight of the world weighs us down. And sure, we all have cares and troubles and trials in this life, but we need to be reminded that God gives us victory. That God gives us victory in our lives. Christ died for us, and He rose again. And He is more than able this morning to take away the sins that blind us. He is more than able this morning to free us from the chains that bind us. And He is more than willing this morning to fill us with the things of God that guide us. Each day I'm filled with excitement and awe and wonder of this new life that Christ has given me. And the new life that He's given you as well as a Christian. He gave something precious for us this morning. There's no question about that. He gave His life for you. The question remains is, have you given your life to Him? Here Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that lives, but Christ lives within me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What a powerful verse this morning that helps us to firm up that sagging middle in our spiritual lives. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your precious Word. Thank You for the truth of Your Word, the power of Your Word. And Father, this morning we pray that, Lord, as we lay ourselves out before You, that You would speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to know that the Christian life involves much more than a beginning point and an ending point. It involves much more than just coming to Christ and then at the end of the line knowing that we have a home in heaven. Lord, You said that You've came that we might have life and life more abundantly. That means in the here and now, in whatever we're facing, whatever we're going through today, Lord, You have power to give us victory. So Lord, today, whatever's weighing us down, Lord, whatever burdens and cares we have today, Your Word tells us to cast our cares and burdens upon You because You care for us. Lord, that we can lay those things at the foot of the cross and we can walk in faith and freedom in Christ. Father, during this time of invitation, would You speak to our hearts? Would You have Your will and Your way this morning in this time of invitation? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand with me for the invitation.